The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself with Sangeeta Patel. Are you ready to explore the balance in your life? When the proper balance in your life is achieved, you can enjoy better relationships, careers, health, and life. Now, here is your host, Sangeeta Patel.
Good morning and welcome to our today's show. We are having a special guest today, and it touches my heart because it kind of connects with my own life story about how I lost my only brother in the car accident that we were in together about 27 years ago in India. And after struggling for 17 years with pain and suffering, you know, with the help of my masters and teachers, I was able to find a way to make peace and see a light from this loss. So before I bring our guest on board, let me share a little bit about her. Her name is Veronica Cole, and she is a holistic psychotherapist and grief support specialist. Her research and devotion to adult sibling loss gives a voice to this often unrecognized relationship when it comes to the death of a sibling. And Veronica, she emphasizes the strength and importance of the sibling relationship and the impact our siblings have on our lives on this earth and beyond loss. Veronica, through her own experience with adult sibling loss, chose to heal through utilizing modalities which brought life and dignity to the relationships of her own two brothers. So today our topic of discussion is from loss to light, recovering from adult sibling loss. So welcome, Veronica. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Sangeeta. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us today all the way from Germany.
Yes, that's right. I'm in Kaiserslautern, which is about an hour from France, and it's bitter cold here right now as we're speaking, and everybody's recovering from a virus.
So I'm thankful
to be able to have a voice left for tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you'll be fine. Thank you. All right. So, Veronica, please share with our listeners why adult sibling loss.
Well, it's an interesting story because what happened is more than 20 years ago, I had sustained the loss of a brother by an accident. And 3 months later, another brother died as the result of an accident. And in my search to heal myself, I was looking to find some way to identify, to be able to be with a group of people that understood, and especially when it came to adult sibling loss. My one brother had just basically turned 20, and the other was 27. And I searched and searched, and I found nothing that really addressed specifically the adult sibling loss issue. There were mm-hmm. some memoirs, but there was nothing really that I felt I could get a hold of and that I could work and internalize it for myself. So I ended up writing a paper, and a professor friend of mine submitted it to the Thanatology Association because she felt it was a valuable work and one that needed more of a voice. So time went on, and you know, I had some difficulties because of the fact that it was a sudden loss, which is significant unto itself. And I thought, well, you know, over approximately 6 years, I felt that I was, although fully functioning, that there was still a lot of things that were left unsaid, and a lot of feelings that were still deeply within me, but they really didn't have a way to be expressed. And I found that many people were kind about the sibling loss, but they really were more interested in how my mother was doing, how the adult family, the other adult family members were taking it, and that the responsibility of the surviving siblings was to really take care of, you know, my mother or my grandmother. And it seemed like our ability to grieve was sort of put on the back burner. And I don't think people did this intentionally, but what I came to recognize over the years, when my own mother died about a year and a half ago, was that all of this started to come to the surface again. And I recognized that there is not enough information out there and enough permission for us to really fully grieve and acknowledge the loss of that sibling. And one of them is because there isn't a lot written about it. People don't really talk about it. And especially if the sibling is a bit older or they have their own family, it seems like the recognition is given more to the wife or the spouse of that person, and then subsequently to parents if the parents are still alive. So it really came to the forefront that I had to start doing some workshops surrounding it, and that's what I began to do. And I realized that through the workshops and through people coming that this indeed is definitely a spot that really needs to have a lot of integrity and light shown on it.
Right. No, I completely agree. And you are right. You know what? Speaking about, you know, connecting with the whole family rather than, you know, the person himself or herself. And then the people they ask about, you know, the parents or other, you know, involved in the family. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, I would like you to elaborate more about on the adult sibling loss. With its characteristics and all that.
Yeah, the characteristics of it. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's really significant about an adult sibling is that a sibling, for the most part, has known you for your entire life, depending on where you were born in the family. Mm-hmm. And they are the ones that actually, in many cases, know you almost better than your parents do, because they have been through all of these various stages with you, and I was the oldest of seven, so there is quite a bit of distance between myself and my youngest sibling, but I have a very strong connection to each and every single sibling, and it's a little bit different for each one, but we all have our memories of certain things that we could only share as siblings around a table, you know, discussing things about our parents or about things that occurred when we were younger. Or as we got older, we still maintained that bond when we would get together. So characteristically, a sibling relationship, even if it's, you know, you are in your 60s or 70s, or recently I spoke to somebody in their late 70s, 80s and beyond, even if you haven't seen that sibling in a long time, or the relationship didn't seem to sustain itself, those memories, that love, that bond, is still very much a part of us. It's still very much a part of our body memory. It's still very much a part of our memories if we allow ourselves to go that place. So I think in bringing integrity to it, bringing it out into the light and talking about it, what it really does is it helps us to fully mourn. It helps us to fully embrace that relationship. And it helps us to build a stronger community, because it's not just about growing up and leaving home and that's the end of it. You don't really connect with your sibling anymore. It really is more about that life-sustaining bond that we all share together. Very important.
Right. Right. Yes, it is. And I totally understand your point of view from about the sibling relationships, because even if you have parents or grandparents or uncles or aunts or the family in the home, but still that connection, and sometimes, you know, like the siblings, what they share amongst each other, their bond is completely different from the bond with their parents or, you know, other family members in the house. And I have my son and my daughter, and they have this special connecting bond that, you know, sometimes they think that, you know, if they would tell me, then I would worry more. So sometimes they kind of try to figure it out themselves, you know. So that relationship and that connection is completely different. And I'm glad that you are putting that spotlight and bringing that special bond and connection onto the surface. And
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I was thinking that, you know, when I first began this project that I'm doing right now, it was kind of interesting the way that it all sort of evolved. It evolved out of the workshops. But originally, I was going to do it as a series of reflections, this particular book that I'm writing on adult sibling loss. But what ended up happening was I had this, I guess you could call it sort of an epiphany, where I thought, you know, there isn't enough information out there, and I really want people to be able to identify with somebody else's experience, because all of this has been so underground for so long, and we need to bring it up and give it life. So I decided that what I would do is really put it out there to get people's personal reflections and stories that they have experienced themselves, either from childhood or something significant surrounding the death or whatever, some significance where they could bring it the integrity and they could keep that memory alive in the writing, and that somebody who is suffering or who is contending with this could pick up this book and they could read any story and possibly feel understood and identify with it. So there is so much here, Sangeeta, that I feel that I'm really just barely getting, you know, tapping the surface of it. But as I continue going on and doing more research and talking with more people, I just realize how many people have been suffering and how many people really have not recognized that they even were suffering, that they really did not completely mourn, you know? So
right. And after a while, like if you don't deal with it, then it kind of becomes an autopilot, you know?
Right.
And that's when like we start struggling with our emotions and our thoughts, and then the repetitive patterns that kind of keeps coming back and triggering it. And so it is very, very important. And you're right, like with your book, you know, like you're collecting stories, which is so important, because when somebody else reads it, then they feel that there are people out there that are like me, or they can understand me, and you know that, and they feel little relief. They feel relief, and they feel supported, even though they haven't spoken to each other. But just reading those words, those chapters, their stories, because everyone on this planet has a story to share. And once somebody else reads this, and especially with the niche market like this, you know, it is very, very important and helpful for those who are in that particular boat.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I just don't think that there is any particular time frame with any of this. I just think that they'll go back and they think about this, you know, the things that I've heard from people are, you know, I never really thought of it that way, but you're right. You know, people really did give more attention to my mother and my father, and we sat back and we to our parents, and you know, that was our job. That was what we were supposed to do. And it's not that a mother's loss is not significant, because oh, how significant the loss of a child could be to someone. I mean, my mother lost two children. But again, as you had mentioned earlier, Sangeeta, it's the individual story, the individual experience of each person that's really important within that family dynamic, and how differently experiences it from another, because as you know,
Veronica, I'm sorry, it's a time for to take us a short break, and we have so much to share. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself with Sangeeta Patel. To reach the show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to support@embraceyourinnerself.com. Now, back to this week's program.
And thank you for tuning in and welcome back. Today we are discussing about adult sibling loss with Veronica Cole. And before we went on the break, we were talking about how important it is to have the sibling relationships and the connection with them. And most of the people, they don't talk about it. They usually talk when someone loses in the family, that they had the more focus on the parents or the wife or the kids. So it is very, very interesting. And so, Veronica, please let's continue, you know, what we were talking before the break.
I think what I was mentioning is that you had mentioned earlier in the program, you know, the significance of the relationship within your own family dynamic. You know, we take care of the parents, and basically that's a lot of the focus. And but as you know, depending there are, that's how many different relationships there are also. So each sibling has their own experience, and you know, sometimes, you know, the best healing can come from being with those siblings. I found that to be true for myself. My siblings were the only source of comfort that I could really find, because most people really did not talk about it. I mean, I remember that, and I've heard of people now also, but I think this is indicative of loss across the board in many cases. Many people kind of expect you to move on within a month or so, and that it really shouldn't be as poignant as it is. So there really is no place to put that grief. And there really should be. I mean, in our culture in particular, I think that we have a difficult time with grief. We want to whisk it away. We don't really want to talk about it too much. It's gotten away from some much older traditions, which are important, and which I think really need to be brought back, which is, you know, opening up discussions and conversations and being able to bring memories and pictures and keeping that alive somehow. I think it brings us comfort. You know, some people may feel that talking about it is almost sacrilegious because it's just going on and on and on about something that could never be again. That person can't come back to life.
Right.
But I think with a grieving individual, discussion is all about keeping remembering.
Right, right. And it is important to do that so. But, you know, sometimes, so many times I come across people that they say that they don't have good relationship with their siblings and that sibling mm-hmm. dies. So what do you think, like, is there a room for anger when mourning this loss? Or what happens when the relationship is not good between the siblings? How do they cope?
Well, you know, anger is just another emotion, and we need to move it through us, because when we accept our feelings, no matter what they are, and anger is just one of them, what we're really doing is opening ourselves up to expand the energy, to expand the feelings, and to expand the relationships. In the case of siblings where there's a loss and there had been discord, or, you know, somebody had not been in contact for several years, many people can feel a lot of guilt surrounding this.
Right.
And I know of someone in particular who, when his brother, they had just had an argument, and they were very close as brothers, but what ended up happening was the brother was so angry that he decided he was going to leave and go to his house. And on the way home, he was killed in a hit-and-run accident. So the living brother felt tremendous guilt because they were very, very close. So what ended up happening was we really had to talk a lot about that anger and talk about the fact that it was a normal human emotion. That particular experience or having that anger did not make up the whole relationship. And I think that's what happens when people get stuck in the anger ocean. Good. That was not the entire relationship.
Right.
And sometimes we have to be prompted to know that there was a time when that relate was significant in another way. And even if you weren't the best of friends as you got older, you still had that bond. You still had that dynamic from when you were younger. And it really is about forgiving. Even in this where the person has moved on and is no longer on this earth, we can still work on that, and we can still forgive that person, forgive ourselves, and try to find the place where that love still resides.
Right, right. So I know it is very important, like you mentioned, to process the anger and the guilt and through forgiveness, mm-hmm. which is very, very important aspect and the key point in moving forward and remembering those who have transitioned into the next circle of life. But what about, like, let's say that in the family dynamic, what happens to a siblings as they become adults? Like, what role do they play in the family?
Well, and again, it all depends on the connections that the family have with each other. I think probably many people have experienced that they could, you know, siblings oftentimes now don't live where they were born and raised. And maybe they get together a couple of times a year. But invariably, what ends up happening in a family dynamic is we often go right back to the roles that we were in when we were kids. So this sort of is part of that bond that doesn't really break. And it can be slightly less, Because, you know, you want to be, you know, for instance, I, within my own family, I was the oldest. Mm-hmm. And I was always very much about taking care of the younger siblings. And when I went on and became and did my work and became a therapist, I don't really get that recognition as a therapist. But I get the acknowledgement as being the one that was the older one that was in charge, that took care of them. And sometimes, you know, they get annoyed with me and they really appreciate it. But we all have our place to fall into, you know.
Right.
My youngest sister, she's still also, she was the youngest. And in her case, uh-huh. as the youngest, you know, she was very much pampered and babied. And uh-huh. so that has maintained itself throughout her adult life. So even when we get together, she's still the pampered one. I have another brother who's a comedian. He falls right into that role continually, and he ends up making pizza, which is what he did all the time growing up. So, uh-huh. You know, even though we grow up and we grow away, some of those things still remain with us, and they come out when we are in large family gatherings or when we get together.
Right.
Which is also part of the importance, again, you know, at sibling bond, you know, it doesn't really die.
Yes, that is so true. And especially, you know, and that role that you play, like for in your instance, you know, that you are the eldest when you're taking care of all, and then it kind of goes all throughout your life. It does not stop that, okay, now, you know, you had a loss, and then after a while, you are off the hook. Because then, you know, the other siblings kind of like for your youngest sister, you know, like she would kind of keep coming to you, or you're open for that, correct?
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Where my brothers, the position that my two brothers were in who died, there was the oldest brother just under me, and then the youngest brother. And the role that my oldest brother and I played was, we were kind of like the mom and the dad of you know, all the rest of the siblings. So we kept taking care of them, you know. They were always coming to us for certain things and for advice and all this sort of stuff growing up. Of course, mm-hmm. now they wouldn't want to hear that, but that's what it was, always looking out for them. And so when my oldest brother died, what happened to me was, again, now the family dynamics have shifted. You know, when he died, I was sort of a bit lost because I mm-hmm. always looked to him. We would always talk about the rest of the siblings, you know, and what they were doing and what they were up to, and sort of automatically knew that we were kind of looking out for them. And he stopped by my house constantly, and he was there every single day for a few minutes before he went back to his own home. And, you know, that bond was changed permanently. And with my youngest sibling, when he died, he was very much a part of the work that I was doing and was very bonded to what I was doing, and so I was sort of mentoring him. So, again, there was two holes now that were created in that family dynamic, and that's what happens when that sibling dies. It creates a hole in the dynamic, and it does change everything. It certainly it's very significant.
Yes. Well, Veronica, stay tuned. This is very, very important and heart-touching subject that we are discussing today. But it's again time for us to take a short break, and we have so much further to share. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If you think you've seen online TV before, Let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself with Sangeeta Patel. To reach the show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to support@embraceyourinnerself.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Thank you for tuning with us today on Voice America, and welcome back on the Empowerment Channel with our show, Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself. Today we are discussing with Veronica Cole about the adult sibling loss. So, Veronica, I know you have so much to share with our audience today, but let's talk about timing, because so many people, you know, like, for instance, I lost my brother 27 years ago, and it still seems like it's happened yesterday. So how long does one grieve the loss of a sibling?
Well, you know, grief in general is an individual process. And no matter who we've lost in our life that was significant, how long we grieve depends on so many factors. I'm not really convinced that we actually successfully grieve permanently and that we've gone through the process and everything is completely integrated, because the more I think about something that I recently experienced and through talking to other people, I realized that grief becomes triggered at different points in our life. I would say that some of the things that are significant about intense mourning, intense grief, would be how the death occurred. Now, if a person had some time to be able to contemplate the death, or it's impending, there's an illness, I'm not saying that people grieve less. But what happens is there is a part of us that is anticipating, and we, even though we don't want this to happen or we're thinking that it might not happen, we could be in denial about it, but we're looking at this basically on a daily basis, and we can see something occurring. Mm-hmm. What I find is that in the case of sudden loss, which again is very unique, is that, you know, people do not have a chance to come to terms with it. There is such a tremendous amount of shock that occurs with sudden loss that we can be in denial in loss with any other kind of loss, but with sudden loss, it really can take a long time to get out of that process of disbelief, to think that maybe this didn't really happen. And I know self, and this is not unusual, when my second brother died, we had a casket because he could not be viewed for obvious reasons. And as a result, there was a part of me that just did not believe he had died. I kept thinking that maybe he had some sort of amnesia. Maybe they didn't really know and they made a mistake. And even though in my intellectual thinking, my rational mind, I knew differently, but the other part of me still kind of held on to that belief. And it was really quite a few months. I mean, I actually saw somebody once that looked so much like my brother that I followed him. He ended up being somebody that worked on a telephone line, so he began to climb a pole, and I looked at him, and then I realized that's not my brother. But I mean, I had circumstances like that for several months. And so that in itself, sudden loss, is a shock to the system. And depending on the individual person's nervous system, depending on if they're able to talk about it, you know, it all really depends. That first state of disbelief, and they say that there are five stages. I think they've been, you know, at different points in time. So I'm not a person that believes that everything happens in order. I think it happens according to how we're feeling it and processing it. And in my case, I really didn't have anybody that, you know, I really could talk to about a sudden loss, and in particular, a sudden sibling loss. I was so merged with this particular brother, with both of them actually, that it felt like a part of me had died, you know, like my arm had been cut off. And it was really, it was inconceivable, really. So then that could take, you know, for some people, it might take a few weeks. For some people, it could take years. And then if you put on top of that, the fact that people really don't want to give it the light, they don't want the expansiveness to be able to come out and talk about it and to let it, you know, to let somebody breathe and come out in the open to mourn, it could take years. I mean, people can hold on to this for a long, long time. And in my case, although I thought I had worked through much of it, I realized after my mother's death that it brought it all back up in big ways, in such big ways that I had to look at. And actually, as devastating as my mother's death was, there was a blessing to it, because it opened up that opportunity as a person now who's a bit more aware about some of this. I'd processed some of this, and I was able to understand that I needed more work done, and I had to really go further into some of these feelings and some of the stories, and I had to write about it. So for me, that was one of the ways that I started blogging about it. I started journaling about it. I started talking more openly to other people about it. And that's what opened it up for me, and that's what really helped. So I think that however long it takes somebody is how it takes, and I really don't think that we can put a cap on it or a time on it, because there is no right or wrong answer. I mean, it really depends on the individual, and just because I not necessarily, you know, have a crying episode about it for years and then all of a sudden feel startled by something that could be as small as seeing a toy and recognizing that might have been a favorite toy of your brother when he was a child, and you're just seeing that now and it took you back, doesn't mean that there's anything really wrong with you or that you haven't done the work. It just means that he's still a part of you. That person is still there, that spirit, that soul that, you know, you were bonded with.
Right. That is so true. And as you were sharing about the process, you know, I kind of went into my own memory lane, because we had another sudden death in our own family. Actually, it was my nephew. And you said that, you know, when something similar kind of happens, it kind of triggers it. And I was also doing the similar thing when I lost my brother. I would not, I did not accept it completely. You know, I thought that because I did not see him, so I thought that he would come back somehow. And, you know, for almost 18, 19 years that happened. And when my nephew passed away in the car accident over here, and when it was his funeral, when I saw his body, it was like, oh my God, as if the Mother Earth pulled away from my feet. And I was seeing like flashes about, you know, his face and my brother's face. And I thought, this is real. You know, this is real. Like they are gone. And that's when it kind of hit me. And that's after that, it came to me. And then I'm like talking and crying and journaling and, you know, thinking about them, it kind of impact. And you're right, like, you know, there is no time limit or a set that, you know, it's like a whole life process, and we just have to go and deal with it and kind of make peace with it somehow. And like you shared the tips about journaling, talking about it, and just be with the flow, that kind of helps with it, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, many years ago, when before, you know, funerals became such an industry and so sanitized and everything, what they used to do was put the body on ice, and people would come into, in the States, they called it the parlor, and they would view the body, and people would just come around for several days and before there was a burial. And I think there's something significant to that. So, you know, like in many religions, what they'll do is they'll have a casket and they'll have a showing, but there's not enough dialogue. There's not enough time. Usually, you know, you have hours and then there's a funeral and then that's pretty much it. And I actually attended a service many years ago. God, it wasn't 10 years ago, but it's that a daughter in my daughter's class, one of the girls was killed in a car accident. And that's what they did. They had to get special permission, but that's how they did it. And we just found that you had a whole mourning community, and people were able to gather around, and they were able to mourn. They had people that actually made the casket for her. Some men from the community got to. And subsequently, a couple of more people did that within the community, and it was the first I'd ever experienced that, because that was something like maybe my grandparents had experienced. We actually grew up in a home where they called it the parlor, and that was where they would have, you know, the showings of anybody who had died in the family. So I think it is so important to recognize that some of our cultural habits that have developed, you know, contribute to how long and the degree that we grieve, and also how it happens, just like you were mentioning, you know, with your brother and then subsequently with your nephew, I think it was, you said.
Yes, yes.
All these things just impact us, but we don't have to just keep it under wraps anymore. We can talk about it, and we can make it a living part of life. You know, it's all part of life, and it all deserves to be brought out to the surface.
Yes, yes, Veronica. And again, it's time for a short break, and we have still a little bit more to share with Veronica Cole. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself with Sangeeta Patel. To reach the show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to support@embraceyourinnerself.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Thank you for tuning in again and welcome back. And we are sharing our intimate heart topic about adult sibling loss with Veronica Cole. So, Veronica, before we went to the break, we were talking about the sudden death and how to kind of cope up with it and some tips about like journaling, you know, crying. Crying is also very healing and talking about it helps to kind of make peace with it. Now, how about any other ways like groups and, you know, like do you do something like that or if you can share the light on that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the workshop that I have started and that I'm feeling very hopeful about to help others heal is called From Loss to Light, Recovering from Adult Sibling Loss. And I go over some of the things that we've talked about tonight. But more importantly, what I do is I bring people together so they can have the opportunity to share their story if they like. And there is also an opportunity at the end where we do a ceremony and we acknowledge each and every single person's or siblings in that particular ceremony, because it really seems to bring a lot of relief, and it also helps people to feel like this relationship is being honored. The important thing about it is just the fact that people are getting together and they're talking about it. And again, because there is no time limit with age, you could be as old as you could be, you know, your relationship with him could have not been going on for quite some time. It does not matter. The point is, it's a relationship to be honored. So being in that kind of a group is significant. I'm also working on putting together a virtual group where I have six people together, and we work online virtually through Skype, and we open up the discussion to be able to just talk about the process or other ways that it may impact us. And again, it's to bring light and to shed some integrity on all of this so that people can feel free to own whatever that relationship was. In particular, when people have had some difficulty with a particular sibling, you know, like for instance, I just went through a process with somebody who had that situation, and just talking really helped to alleviate some of the guilt that she had been living with for quite a few years. So all of this is really relevant. It's just about bringing people together and listening to people and knowing that their story, that relationship is significant. So in the process also, you know, besides journaling, you know, meditation is great, but I do have a guided imagery for relaxation, which is on my website at www.veronicacole.com. That's VeronicaCole.com. It's a free MP3 download, and it is approximately 21 minutes, and it will individual to go through a particular relaxation, because relaxation is very important. When we are still in heavy stages of mourning or feeling guilty or, you know, twisted about it in any way, that's a stress response. And it's important to bring in the relaxation response, which is what this particular CD does. I've had a lot of good feedback from it. And people listen to it generally before they go to bed. But, I mean, I know somebody that actually just listens to it whenever she starts hence. So, and because it's a free MP3 download, they can download it to anything that they'd like to be able to listen to it. The other thing is, you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So the other thing is that, and I think I mentioned journaling, I think I mentioned meditation, but really just sitting down and what I like to call morning pages. Judith Cameron brought this out many years ago in her book, The Artist's Way, and I found it very, very helpful. So in the morning, what I do, I take 3 pages from a regular notebook pad and I just write stream of consciousness, meaning whatever comes to my mind on all 3 sides, and then I stop. And what this does is it helps us to get out some of the stress and the clutter. And what I find is that with most people within a week's time, you start to get more important messages in intuitive thinking, and you begin to process more. And when we're mourning, this is a really good process for us because we really want to try to be as relaxed as we can. We want to get stable, and this can help through all of that once we get to a certain point and we start to bring in more self-care, because self-care is really another key component to all of this, which really is what the thought that I'm talking about, you know, the book that I'm writing, which, by the way, is another way that people could, if they wanted to, submit a story, what I was, you know, contact me on my website. You can also contact me on Facebook, which I'll give that URL. And I will then send them further information about the project and see if they'd like to be a part of it. And then I will call them and contact them and we can have a dialogue about it. But I feel that these stories are so important.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much, Veronica, for sharing all this very heart-touching topics with our listeners today, and especially your wisdom on it, how to deal with the process, how to make peace with it. You know, like you mentioned, meditation, journaling, and the pages, like 3 pages that you read, that is an excellent, excellent idea for people who are going through this, and they can start practicing that. So thank you, Veronica, for sharing and your wisdom today and empowering our listeners.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Okay. So you can reach Veronica at veronicacole.com. And thank you for joining us today. Have a blissful day. Namaste.
Thank you again for tuning into the show. Embrace Your Inner Self and Empower Yourself with Sangeeta Patel can be heard live every Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. This week, may everything come together to give your life balance.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.